Okay, next speaker is myself. I'm Doug Shoup. I do work for Kansas State University. It's a good thing that Kent finished because I am more seasoned than him and I am going to take more time than him. So, no. Well, we're both rookies, but I'm just a little bit less of a rookie. I've been in the job 2 years. But Kent operates in the southwest part of the state. I operate in the southeast. So I thought maybe I'll do some similarities and show some of my different experiences as well. So talk a little bit about my background, about the diversity of southeast Kansas, what my expectations were before I started, my team, my agents, and then learn some of my things that I've learned and some of my thoughts looking ahead. So first, my background, I guess I want to talk a little bit about my first agronomy experience. I was working for as an intern for American Cyanamid, and they were a chemical company in the 90s, and that was my first agronomist experience. We got to do field research. We got to do farmer problems, field diagnosis problems. I got a little taste of sales. Best part about it, I was 21 years old, and they handed me the keys to a cherry red Ford pickup. And I thought, wow, that's what I want to do. I want to be an agronomist. So it was in the ag chem industry. So I took the steps to get into the weeds graduate program at K-State. And so I worked on a herbicide-resistant project for 5 years, worked on a few other projects, but really 5 years of training in weed science, you get pretty specific and you kind of get honed down. You think, well, I know all this stuff for 5 years of graduate work, but you're focused in pretty specific on one topic. So what do? I go take a job that has nothing to do with weed science. So after I graduated, I worked for Monsanto for a couple years in St. Louis, working on a soybean trait that they had in one of their biotech pipelines. So that was kind of a culture shock for me, leaving Kansas, going to kind of a big city, for me anyway, 3 million people. They put me up. This was the building I worked in, big high-rise building, sixth floor. I had a corner office, guys. This was my view. I'm going to bring you back down to earth a little bit. This is actually how you got to my office. They stuck me in the back of a catch-all lab where they had the coolers for the field work. So I think they actually cleaned buckets and mops and brooms out of that before I moved in the next day. But it was a great experience, and I had a lot of responsibility, and you kind of had to grow up pretty quick. I learned a lot in those 2 years I was with Monsanto. I loved my time there. It was a really good experience. Got to see a lot of agriculture, but it was really, again, focused on soybean production, Corn Belt region, high-yield environments in the Corn Belt in South America. Got to do a little bit of traveling as well throughout the I-States, see agriculture in that, and into South America and Puerto Rico as well. So that was really a good experience for me to kind of get out and experience some agriculture outside of the U.S. But if there's one thing that I'll mention about what the differences are between a university setting and industry setting is the workload really isn't any different. I mean, we still put in the same amount of times in industry as we do in university, but the pace is a lot quicker. So things change a lot quicker. University, well, it's the government. It operates a little bit slower paced. But in the industry side of things, you better be willing to change and adapt. Because there, you may come in one day and the boss says, well, your project is not important anymore, so we're going to put you on something else. So that would be the biggest difference. Now, something that I did pull out and I learned and I think I developed a skill when working in industry is they're very team-oriented. And maybe we don't get enough credit for our university system for being a team-oriented, or we don't put enough focus on it. But it just made me a little bit more cognizant and aware because we got to coordinate and work with 5 to 10 different groups to get a product from conception to the deadline or the timeline for market release. So I think I gained a lot of skills in that industry that I think I have been applying to my job now as an area agronomist. So ultimately, family made the final decision. We got a little bit closer to home. Just like rural life, we didn't really like the big city quite as much, so that was kind of the decision that we made as a family. I want to talk a little bit about Southeast Kansas because we're unique. We are very different. Kansas, you think, is flat, and you think maybe it's dry. Well, this is a rainfall map of Kansas from the west where you get a little bit less than 20 inches of rain a year. To the east, we get a lot of rainfall a year. And actually, even in my territory in the red outline, I get less than 30 inches of rain in the western part of my territory, and I have 45-plus inches of rain in the eastern part. So, where we still experience dry parts in the eastern part of the state, don't get me wrong, but we do have a problem with trying to manage how much water we do get. So that changes a lot of the environment, changes a lot of the cropping systems. There's a lot of diversity in the southeast part of the state. We have more of a soybean corn in the eastern part. We move more to wheat production and some irrigation and even some full-season summer crops as well in the south-central part of the state. So a lot of diversity. Cattle is a very big industry down there as well, so there's a lot of forages, tall fescue. And then we're right in the middle of all of this is about 4 or 5 acres of Flint Hills, tall grass, native prairie. So really diverse area, and it can present a lot of challenges. So what did I expect coming into this job? Well, I underestimated what my job responsibilities would be. I guess that's the major take-home message. First thing is, and Kent hit on this, you know, I was spent 5 years training in weeds. I grew up on a farm. I kind of knew how the farming practices were. And then you spend a couple years working on soybean production geared towards the Corn Belt region. Well, and then you come into this diverse region, and you're supposed to be the expert on everything. So that's the biggest challenge coming into it, and Kent alluded to that as well, is that you do have to know 6 to 8 different crops. You do have to know forages, and you got all these different tillage systems that you got to manage as well. So it can be a little bit daunting, but it gets better the longer you're in it. The other thing, and Kent even mentioned that too, and I'll add on to his, with the meetings. Yeah, we all have meetings. It's a big part of our program. But the audience is really kind of is what I thought was different. You know, I guess I didn't expect to see as grizzled of farmers. You know, I'm speaking, and as a guy that looks as young as I do, I'm speaking to a group of 50, 60, and 70-year-old farmers who've been farming for 40 years, and what am I going to do, stand up and try and teach them how to change their farming practices? So that was a little bit of a challenge, and I'll give this one quote by a farmer that kind of sets the tone. I got introduced to this farmer. One of the agents said, well, this is the new area agronomist. Ask him about row spacing and wheat. And he goes, this guy, I got underwear older than this guy. So that kind of set the tone. I thought, well. The other thing that I kind of underestimated was the preparation that went into it. Going through school, all through school, I never pulled an all-nighter. You know, I'd stay up and study late, but I never pulled all-nighters. I always got sleep. I'll tell you, I've actually pulled a couple all-nighters to be prepared, because you want to make that good impression when you're sitting in front of 60 and 70 and 80-year-old farmers, because you only get one shot. You know, you mess up once, they may not invite you back, or you won't have the credibility the next time you go back into that county. So you want to be prepared. That's the biggest thing. It takes a lot of preparation. So, and the last is, and Ken alluded to this too, I don't have a research appointment. I'm 100% extension. But I think research is important. I like doing research. It's important. And I use that in my extension program. But you can really get sucked into doing a lot of research. And then it gets to become a scramble to try and get everything that you need to get done research-wise, and everything else that you need to get done on a daily basis as well. So I underestimated that. So my county faculty, well, my main responsibility is to my county agents. I need to be accessible to my county agents via phone, via email. I need to help them do their programming as well. I kind of landed in an area that has a lot of seasoned veterans. These guys, for the most part, have worked 15 to almost 40 years in their county. 20 of them have worked greater than 10 years. So I've got a lot of seasoned guys, and I've learned a lot from them, actually. Most of them are animal science majors, so I think that stresses even the more importance of agronomy, how important we are to them, because maybe they don't feel as comfortable. And it's really important not to make them feel inferior, make them feel like any question is not important, because it is. And we're there to provide that help. So I think I take great pride in being able to help those guys out. And it's really important to form a relationship. They said, well, you need to get out in the county and you need to meet them all in the first 2 to 3 months of your job. That's the most important thing. And it's right. This is your team. You got to gain that trust in them, and you got to get comfortable with that team, because you're going to be spending a lot of years with them, doing a lot of programming and helping them out in the future. And they won't all mesh with you, and you just got to kind of accept that. So what I've learned, well, you don't have to be an expert on everything. It is okay to say, well, that's a good question. I don't know. I want to get you the best answer. So sometimes, like Kent said in his defense, he said that, yeah, sometimes it's good to say, well, I don't know, and that's the truth. And you don't have to do what's previously done in your area. Well, I had a guy that was had been in my area for 40 years, and so I'm following a guy that had built a legacy, and you know, I'm doing a lot of the same stuff. It's all a lot of that's important, but I think change is good, and I've got a little bit of response from that from my agents and some of the farmers. It's good to breathe a little new life into that every once in a while. And so It is. They say that job is what you make it. You've got a responsibilities, but you can mold certain things to do however you want to fit it into your program. And that's the truth. And so you can do things differently just as long as you get all your responsibilities done. So try to be more efficient. This goes hand in hand with time. You can run yourself ragged with 26 agents and a lot of producers and state faculty and research station faculty. You can run yourself pretty ragged. So you need to be efficient with your time, be efficient with your travel, be efficient with your resources. And don't forget your family, because they'll remind you. If you're not home for 3 nights in a row to eat supper with them, they'll remind you. So use your flex time. Don't forget your family, and then it is important to learn how to say no. And that can be hard sometimes. So, final thoughts. Well, I enjoy my job. I really do. It's challenging at times, but I like the flexibility of kind of doing what you want to do and molding your program however you want to mold it to fit what the producer's needs are and what your clientele needs are. So I really enjoy that aspect of my job. I'm kind of surprised at how much I've learned from the agents and the farmers themselves. You know, I feel comfortable with weeds. I feel comfortable with a lot of crop production. But forages is a new thing. There's a lot to learn about forages. And there's just little techniques here and there that you can pick up and you can carry on to other farmers to help them out as well. So I think that's been surprising, is how much I've actually learned from the agents and the farmers in my area as well. People interaction, I consider myself a people person. I can be a little introverted at times, but that's the most rewarding, when you have a producer comes up and say, hey, this was worth my time. I'm really glad that you had this meeting. You did a good job. So that really makes it all worth it. And there's going to be good days and there's going to be bad days, but just as long as there's more good days than bad, you'll be all right. And this is a good point here. Extension makes more differences in people's lives than we like to give it credit for. I had one of my seasoned agents said, you know, he was told that if you can hit 20% of your people in your county, you've got them all, because they're going to go out and they're going to talk in a coffee shop and they're going to lead by example. And I think we don't get as much credit as we deserve in extension. I think we do kind of take that for granted. Hey, I do have some time. I wanted to finish this up. I got a minute. Unique questions. Now, Jim asked me this in one of our extension retreats. He goes, Doug, what was the hardest question you've had this last year? And I said, okay, well, I had one farmer that said, hey, is glyphosate, is that a hydrocarbon? I thought, well, I don't think so. There's some nitrogen and phosphorus in there. I said, why are you asking this question? He goes, well, I think I got glyphosate in the transmission of my tractor. And I said, well, that's odd. I said, let me ask a question. How did you get glyphosate in the transmission of your tractor? He goes, well, you know, glyphosate looks a lot like transmission fluid when it's sitting in a 5-gallon bucket. And surprisingly enough, the guys at the transmission shop had said that is not the first time it happened where glyphosate got put in transmission. So that was my hardest question from a farmer. Okay, I do have about a minute left before the next presenter needs to come up, so I can answer questions or we can do some discussions. Thank you. No questions. From an extension group, there's no questions. Okay. Well, if that's...
you wish you did it, that you didn't. I mean, you're not on the...
I don't have any class that I wish I would have taken. I don't miss school at all. But no, that's an unfair question. You know, I'll tell you what, Kurt. This is the advantage of being a weed scientist, and I'll give a little props to our weed science group. Is we have a few limited classes in weed science, and that kind of forces us to take a lot of soils classes, a lot of microbiology classes. So I really know I don't regret any classes that I didn't take, because we had such a limited amount that we could actually take going through graduate school. I had to branch out and take a lot of different classes, so a lot of breeding and genetics classes. So no, I don't. So thanks. Next, I'll step aside and give me a second.